Billy Ocean from the album Tear Down These Walls, As Soon As You're Ready, Baby. I always love these albums. It wasn't a big hit, but it's a great tune. Some of the hits on that album include things like The Color of Love and Get Out of My Dreams and Into My Car. It's been a favorite of mine for years, anyway. Love that old music. Wow, what a day. Woke up this morning, had some interesting vibes flowing through the air that may have changed, I hope. Better judgment, you know, what is that line? Discretion is the better part of valor, and I think some people took that advice seriously today. Nonetheless, I just write these things as I go along. I never know what I'm going to say either, so just bear with me. You know, it's raining in the rainforest again. I'm telling you, I'm thrilled. I take that as a very good sign. It's kind of like renewal and rebirth that occurs after a nice fresh rain that clears the air and washes down all the... Well, I could go on for hours. Sometimes I do. As usual, I take a day off and things start going to hell, and I wish I wasn't joking. Actually, I'm not joking. It's true. Look around. Up in the Great Lakes, wildlife is being killed. People are being falsely accused and imprisoned. 30,000 people were evacuated from Knoxville because of a sulfuric acid release. And I'm concerned we're witnessing the beginning of the next Holocaust. It must stop now. We have a lot to talk about. Always like to pay tribute to a great person in the world. We'll do that, and we'll take a closer look at the Bush administration's agenda. We'll hit the reset button on the important issues that are being forced out of the media by the incredible propaganda campaign being waged by the Bush administration to cause Americans to become concerned about their safety and to support an unjust war. And I've got a few tidbits of synchronicity as well as some fun entertainment news, too, so we'll get started. First, I want to remind you that, you know, when you get frustrated with the world and what's going on and how your life is going, there's really only one thing to do. Just kind of close your eyes, take three slow, deep breaths, and imagine it's a whole new world. All you have to do is want it. You can see what it looks like, you can smell it, and it's within your reach. All you have to do is want it. When you open your eyes, the world will become what you've seen. That's the way I think of it. Probably shouldn't talk about this, but I will. Not much suppresses me these days. When I began this website to point out the patterns of behavior by the Bush administration and to sort out the differences between what we hear on TV and in the press, statements by our leaders, and then the truth about what's occurring, well, you know, the truth is a mighty weapon. It's my weapon. It's the only righteous weapon. And it's often feared by those who choose to deceive. That's why I knew at some point I would likely be arrested in an effort to suppress the truth. As George said today, we'll get them one by one. Just remember, don't believe everything you hear. And like I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything. I don't make this stuff up. There's information all around you. Check it out. Someday I really hope to shake the hands of everyone at CNN and the other news outlets out there doing the work they've been doing to provide balanced reporting and information to Americans. I make no apologies for my endorsement of CNN's reporting, and I wish I had the chance to talk to them and get even more info, but that just isn't meant to be. Meanwhile, after 2 years of research, I concluded that they were the most trustworthy news source. 37% of Americans agree. It's enough affirmation for me. So for some reason, I believe the moment of my possible arrest may be near. Maybe today, maybe soon. Don't worry about me, though. I'll be fine, no matter what. Remember, I have God on my side. Whatever crimes they may decide to persecute me for, it will only be to, you know, generate suppression. I'll be back. Or maybe they'll show better judgment. But just be sure to do your job. Spread the truth. Remind people of the differences between the rhetoric and what's really going on. The truth really is out there. It's everywhere. You just have to be willing to hear it and speak it into existence. Use your talents to do it. Poetry, music, art. You have all the tools. Everything you need to cause world peace and keep America free. Use the chat rooms and the internet as long as you can. And remember, we can change the future. Synchronicity. The doorbell just rang. The words of Ronnie Montrose, when I interviewed him, passed through my head. He said, "Jiggers, it's the cops." But no, it's Airborne Express with a do-it-yourself Christmas ornament making kit. Incredible. Enough of that. Kind of an ominous way to start off, isn't it? I just say what God tells me to say. That's really the beauty of it. The beauty God gave us to preserve. The gut feeling that tells us the differences between right and wrong. It all makes perfect sense, and it's so easy. Bushism of the moment, from my favorite guy in the administration, Don Rumsfeld, says it's now the job of Congress to connect the dots. I couldn't agree more. Notice that the administration is now set demands a UN decision within a month. That would prevent them from dealing with the scrutiny of the marches against the Iraqi war being organized for Washington, D.C. and San Francisco on October 26th. Don't forget, stop the war on Iraq before it starts. That's Saturday, October 26th in Washington, D.C. and in San Francisco. If you can't make it to one of those, make one in your community. It's not that hard. I'll bet the International Action Center would be glad to assist you. If you don't take a stand now, make them count your votes in the street now. It may become too late. About the union, hey, it's coming along great. Everything takes a little longer than I can think of it, but that's all part of standing for a vision, you know, changing the future. Little synchronicity and the honoring of a great man, someone we can look to as an example of a good citizen, a man committed to doing good things in the world, someone who understands that the quality of life is far more important than conquests and domination, and an example of how when you take care of the people take care of you. Congress, did you hear that? Can you believe it? Back in my old radio days, Billboard magazine was my Bible of the music industry. It was like the radio programmer's guide to staying on the cutting edge of music. And they blazed the trails for the music industry and for people who were blessed with the privilege of sharing their artistic gifts with the world. This story is coming to us from the Boston Globe. It's called Remembering Billboard's Timothy White. Headline, with a benefit concert, top musicians step up for one who stood up for them. Written by Stephen Morse. Here's how it goes. Get ready for White Stock. That's the informal name for the star-studded benefit being held at the Fleet Center on October 7th to help the family of deceased Billboard and Rolling Stone music editor and writer Timothy White. The event looks to be the shining beacon of the fall season, with many of the performers' headliners in their own right, including John Mellencamp, James Taylor, of course, Sheryl Crow, Sting, Don Henley, Billy Joel, and ex-Pink Floyd singer Roger Waters, comfortably numb. The Boston show will be followed the next night by a show at Madison Square Garden. That's Don Henley thinking there, thinking real big, expressing a vision. I do believe the Renaissance has begun. Sheryl Crow summed up what it was about the best. She said, I felt that Tim should have been canonized in the music industry for his fortitude in protecting artists' rights and for staying in a lower-paying job when he'd been offered so many high-profile opportunities, because he believed that what he was doing was important and that someone must guard and defend the sacredness of music and those who make it. The story goes on. The artist respected White for his honest and prolific music coverage through the years, dating back to his tenure with Crawdaddy magazine in the 70s. And they appreciated his editorial support of the Recording Artists Coalition, which 2 years ago lobbied Congress to repeal work-for-hire legislation supported by major record labels. The legislation classified all master studio recordings as works-for-hire that would ultimately belong to the labels, thus choking off artists' rights. White even spoke out on the issue in Washington, D.C., and helped get the law repealed. Now, what will the money be raised for these concerts? Well, more from the article. White's Beacon Hill family, which includes his widow Judy and twin 10-year-old sons, one of them autistic. White edited Billboard magazine until his death of a heart attack at age 50 on June 27th. White was one of those guys so committed to his causes that while life was never boring, he certainly wasn't rich, and the people he cared for in the arts are reciprocating. We didn't really call for anybody to do this benefit, says John Mellencamp, who was a pallbearer at White's funeral. He said they all called and volunteered on their own. There's a good chance that some of the artists will join one another on stage. It would be a dream for me to see Sting and James Taylor play together, says Mitch Glazer, a close friend of White and a fellow journalist who has helped organize the concerts. The possibilities are spectacular, and I know that Steve Jordan, the musical director, is open to them. That the comments of Mitch Glazer. You might not think of it this way, but I think that's really what America is. A community, a beautiful expression. I'll be there in my heart. You can get your tickets, and I urge you to support this. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And check out the rest of that story in the Globe. There's a lot more to it. Since I'm on entertainment and apparently have become the primary agent for James Taylor, I had to catch his show on pay-per-view again last night. Didn't realize it was on until, for some reason, I noticed the story from the Boston Globe. I figure if I listen to October Road 300 or 400 more times, I'll remember some of the words. He's got a song that's always haunted me, too. Hey, Mister, That's Me Upon the Jukebox. One of those songs you love that affect you so deeply. But hey, James, you had competition. I finally sat down and listened carefully to Bruce Springsteen's new album, The Rising. Woo! What a beautiful masterpiece. It's not what I expected. The lyrics are just beautifully woven into a collage of music that pays tribute to the victims and survivors of 9-1-1. But more importantly, so eloquently expresses the rage and pain of the losses of our friends. It sort of provides a roadmap to complete the process of grieving and healing as well. God bless you, Bruce. What a gift to the world. Now the hard news, and frankly, it's pretty hard. Just about the time I was thinking that Secretary of State Colin Powell was a true statesman and ambassador to the world for peace and conflict resolution, that in his position as Secretary of State, after all, well, now he's become part of the choir, singing the demand to attack Iraq no matter what. But at least the administration's motives are becoming crystal clear in the eyes of the world, and that's important. They say they've made progress in negotiations with the UN Security Council. Can't help but wonder what intimidations or implied threats may have been really discussed, like what happened, you know, with the International Court. Headline, Secretary of State Colin Powell said Sunday that UN weapons inspectors must be allowed to go anywhere, anytime, if they return to Iraq, rejecting that country's conditional offer to allow inspections to resume. This from CNN, of course. They have no weapons, what are they hiding, Powell said on a late edition with Wolf Blitzer. Well, they find all kinds of excuses, 1,000 excuses. There are spies on this team, we don't want this, when are sanctions going to be relieved and removed? The issue is Iraqi noncompliance, and we should not allow them to move us off issue. That's the words of Powell. At a news conference Saturday, Iraqi Deputy Minister Tariq Aziz said his nation would allow inspectors to return only if the United States doesn't bring military action and if UN sanctions are lifted. Sounds reasonable to me. The thing is, unless there's something really important that the administration hasn't told us, the case still hasn't been made to connect the dots to seek such hasty support for a war against Iraq. It's time for Congress and world leaders to connect the dots and take a courageous stand for peace and resolution. The world we keep saying we want as we stand by and watch it slip away. Take a stand by expressing your vision for the world, the vision that includes peace and abundance for all. It is yours to preserve and create, and yours to allow to slip away. I will not stand by, because at the heart of America, at the heart of every issue known to the human race, to the animals of the planet and the planet itself and the environment that allows us all to survive and grow, it's a true integration of the concepts of creation and evolution, an integration that depends on one single element in the universe, and that element is justice. That's why I try to point out that, you know, well, the importance of being Al. It's a great difference to notice. Al Gore loves people, he loves justice, and he loves our planet. I can't wait for the day he announces for president. By then, maybe he'd let me be his vice president. I'm going to run a really good campaign for the people on human justice and empowerment. I figure he's got a better handle on a lot of the other important issues. He's my man. That was not a paid endorsement, although I wish it was. Maybe I can get a pardon out of it. I wonder if anyone has actually done that before, run for vice president. That's interesting. That would be kind of fun. I could see me taking my guitar, doing concerts, traveling across America, talking to people, empowering them to take on their own lives and stand for their human rights and freedom and justice and peace and love. We could have a hugging convention. That would be something. Big ball of hugging people moving across the country. I like that. There's someone who's actually done something like that. At the age of 89, Granny Dee put on her hiking shoes and walked across America to help y'all in the fight for campaign finance reform. She's still fighting for you in Washington, D.C. as well. She teamed up with John McCain and Russell Feingold in an informal sort of way, and even though the legislation got watered down, she's the hero that empowered the other heroes who stood up for democracy. That's how it works. Supporting leaders who support the people. Meanwhile, the recent detainment of the Arab men, medical students who were detained in Florida last week, just in time to instill in Americans that we are surrounded in danger, so we'll support an unjust war, has prompted Governor Pataki of New York to install a terrorist hotline. See somebody you kind of don't like, call them up, get them, you know, detained for 18 hours and suppress the heck out of them. What's the matter with these people? In Germany, one of the first steps to totalitarianism was to cause the citizens of Germany to vilify a certain race of people in order to give leaders a target for the frustration and anger needed to induce people to be willing to go to war. We see it happening with our Arab brothers and sisters. You should think about that as the premise of innocence before guilt is lost in the fervor of the propaganda of the day. No wonder they gave up on tips. They just decided to start a hotline. Last thing I want to touch on has to do with my friends in Santa Cruz. They're taking a bold stand for the legalization of the use of medical marijuana. The administration thinks that this is about drugs. But the legalization of marijuana, in whatever way you look at it, is not really just about drugs. It's about the will of the people. The knowledge that, for example, alcohol is a more destructive and addictive substance than marijuana. The knowledge that millions of marijuana users have been prosecuted for using something that has been in use for generations is a plant that God gave us to use responsibly, and whose prohibition can only benefit the major drug companies that would lose business because of marijuana's many beneficial effects. Marijuana is not the problem drug, but I certainly support the fact that leaving it uncontrolled as a black market commodity only leaves it to be a cash crop of terrorists and people who would expose our children to even worse extremes. That's the beauty of decriminalization and control. It's not condoning. It's about responsible use and application, and the ability to treat abuse with education and treatment instead of stigmatization. I thought this nation was about uniting, not separating. That's part of the trend that hasn't been checked yet. Maybe we can stop that now, too. It's all about the same thing that Tipper Gore talks about in regard to the importance of mental health care. But you know, the bigger issue is the public itself, especially the next generation of American leaders. They see a law that makes no sense, that has no honest scientific detractors, and a campaign against it based on corporate interests and governmental propagandist lies that have been told ever since I can remember. And that will be the issue it represents, and why cities like Santa Cruz, and by the way, check the September 16th transcripts of Wolf Blitzer, and people all over the world, like in the European Union where it will be legal, people eventually rise to oppose what doesn't make sense. That's what this administration doesn't understand the most. Here's a bonus link, by the way, to support that issue. This is from the Boston Herald. Boy, they're coming up a lot, too. Headline, pro-cannabis groups gather for annual rally on the Common. It's by Marie Zanislow from Sunday's paper. Headline, or the sub, whatever. It says, dozens of people were arrested yesterday as a crowd of more than 35,000 people gathered for the annual pot rally on Boston Common. I'll let you read the story. Speaking of transcripts, be sure to check out Lou Dobbs' area for information regarding Tariq Aziz's letter to Kofi Annan, which was received as I was writing this. This letter will distinguish the issues that will shape the future of opinion and history. And as a matter of fact, the word just came in, Iraq has agreed to weapons inspectors without condition. Why should we go to war? Still, cynics in the White House say they dismiss it. Of course they do. They don't want to do anything but go to war and drag us along inside of it too. Time to say no. I hope the world applauds the government of Iraq for this courageous willingness to set the example for what is possible in the world, and that the United Nations will support them in standing up for the freedom of every person on this planet. God bless you all. The Renaissance has begun, and that's sort of a wrap. Gotta go watch Everward. Come on, Hillary, do it for America. Do it for yourself. Do it for the world. Let's not pussyfoot around. That really is a wrap. This is Charles. DemocraticFundamentalism.org. Loving every minute of it.